activate.
We are radioactive on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
My name is Joyce.
The Sunny Side with Joyce is still ongoing. And yes, you're with Andrea standing in for Joyce. Check your time. It's 6 minutes going past here for 1 o'clock. And it's about time to switch gears. I know that you still want to talk about COVID-19, but hey, the vaccine is safe and you can be vaccinated. Today, on this second hour of the show, I want us to talk about this because it's a heated conversation. It's not the first time that we've had stories like this. It's not the first time that this has been a talk, all right, or these incidents happening in schools where teachers flog students to death. And it's heartbreaking to see that it's still happening currently. Now, I saw a story on social media and this got my brain spinning because I'm a parent and I know how much of a mother hen I can be when you touch my child. How much more you hit him till he's dead. Now, I'll read a story. A teacher who allegedly beat a sick student to death for not completing his assignment. And this happened somewhere in Abuja. Now, this student is a JESTU student, 13-year-old. According to the story, he says that this child, his name is Aliyu, he complained of not feeling well and went to the school's clinic, but was turned back because he hadn't eaten. Now, when he went back to the class, the teacher demanded for his assignment. And, you know, he had not completed the assignment at the time. Then the teacher decided to punish him. Now, the teacher hits this boy with a bucket handle. And I'm guessing it probably is the iron bottle. The iron handle of the bucket. And hit that on this boy's head. And he slumped and he passed away. He passed out. It took them rushing him to the hospital, and there he was confirmed dead. Whew. Now, I'm just thinking, what would be going on in the minds of his parents right now? I mean, they never saw that the child would not come back home that particular day. They must have hugged and said, okay, go to school, learn, and, you know, expecting their child to come back home, only for them to hear that a certain teacher beat their child and beat the child to death. Now, I know that you want to come with the ideology or with this saying in the Bible that spare the rod and spoil the child. That means that we should hit our child for us to instill discipline. And my question is, as much as that is important, but are there other ways that we can instill discipline without necessarily hitting them? And then in schools, should we, would I call, use the word abolish or eliminate flogging a child to instill discipline? Are there other ways that we can instill discipline in the child without necessarily flogging the child? And because this incident, I don't know, I'm just thinking, if you're a parent, I'm sure that you understand what must have been going on in the minds of that young boy who was flogged to death by a class teacher. Now, this is not the first of many stories. I had an experience way, way back when I was in secondary school. I remember this teacher who would just come out. In fact, when everybody hears a child's name, teacher's name, we all run helter-skelter. Now, this particular day, we're supposed to buy a certain literature text book. And because, you know, some set of people had not bought the book, and then the next punishment was to flog those who had not bought the book. Now, this particular student, this girl, I remember she had, she was an asthma patient. And he kept flogging her until she started gasping for air. Now, he kept flogging her, regardless of her gasping for air, until everybody started screaming that, you know, she is losing it. And they had to give her inhaler. Thank God that the inhaler was available. What if the inhaler was not available? Like, for real. What's your take on this? Should we abolish flogging, eliminate flogging children in schools, and how else can we instill discipline? How else can we instill discipline in our children without necessarily flogging them? And if you're a parent, is that the best way? I mean, I see these long sticks they use to flog cows, to tame cows and animals. That's the same cane we use to flog our children. I know that we are animals as well, but we are higher animals, so to speak. We have minds and we have a soul. But you see, those cows, they don't have a mind and they don't have a soul. So, I mean, we cannot use the same measure that, you know, we use to instill discipline in cows, in mere animals, to instill same discipline on human beings who has got mind and souls. I mean, what do you think? 0700-993-993-993. The female only line is 01465-7190. Hello? All right, do call us back. Hello, good morning. Good afternoon. Jeez.
Afternoon, this is Andrew.
Hi, good afternoon, welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Andrew.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm calling you from UGC.
Welcome.
Okay, I'm a parent. And I go to school tomorrow. So all those kind of things I passed through. And for me, when I got a PTA meeting, I thought all those things should be stopped. Just to beat the students, hitting them on their head. I almost complain all those things on a PTA meeting. Yeah. I passed through all those things. So, it'd be a horrible moment. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, she's saying that it should be abolished. I mean, it should be taken away. I mean, if you're a teacher as well, what are the other disciplinary measures that you can implement to helping a child, you know, do what is right? Hello?
Hello. Hello, Andrea.
Yes.
Afternoon. My name is Val.
Welcome, Val.
Yeah. I think there are other ways, okay? Picking pin, kneeling down to raise the hand, riding Okada and all that. If there must be flogging, there are strategic areas that you should flog, maybe the palm or the butt. And there should be a particular number of strokes, if it is 6, if it is 5, if it is 7, depending on the student. Not necessarily beating them or flogging them carelessly. It is wrong. When I was in secondary school, I had this scar I have on my head.
Yeah.
The teacher used this wooden ruler, very long ruler that was used to rule line on the board, strike my head. I bled that day we're writing the exam. The exam ended that day, that particular day.
I mean, when you got home, what did your parents say about it? Did you report it to your parents?
They were mad. My guardian then followed me back to school, you know, to cause trouble and all that. And at the end of the day, it turned out to be that the teacher that did this and my guardian were from the same town. After much begging and everything, then everything now subsided. But the teacher, I don't know whether she later left the school, but I changed later on.
Okay.
So sometimes some kind of punishment is good to be a disciplinarian, but there should be some level of punishment. Not that you flog somebody carelessly. You flog the palm or the butt, maybe 6 or 7 strokes. Okay. And there are other punishments that you can give to children that are disobedient. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Val. Thank you for that one. Hello. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
My name is Victor. I'm calling from Lagos.
Welcome.
Yeah. I don't know. First off, I just like to say, you mentioned something about the cows. Cows are souls too, though. I mean, you don't just do that to animals.
All right.
That said, I think that, making reference to the scripture about sparing the rod. You don't spare the rod, to bring up children. However, the rod there is not that you beat them to coma. It's discipline in its entirety. Discipline sometimes is a combination of you talk to them. It depends on the age. For instance, very rarely would you want to get a kid and flog a 10-year-old, for instance, or maybe a 15-year-old. You want to do more of talking to them. Discipline, instilling other forms of discipline. The earlier caller mentioned a very good case.
Yeah.
Or perhaps you could choose the number of strokes and then beat them in specific areas. And so do so with clear definitions in mind. You don't just, you know, flog them uncontrollably.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, personally, I come from a household where, I mean, my parents, particularly my mom, is strict disciplinarian, you know. But of course, she even had, even at that, she knew at one point that, look, the cane thing had to stop.
Hmm.
And then for the incident in question, it's a very pathetic one. Very,
I know.
Very sorry one. Honestly, it's...
I know.
What
do we even do about teachers? I mean, you give a few, but a lot of teachers don't know this stuff. They beat you recklessly.
I mean, that's very... I don't know. I think they also need to be enlightened.
Mm.
Even now, I tell you, I'm not someone who subscribes to, so you don't beat a child.
Okay.
Beat them if you have to, but do it commensurate to both their age.
Okay.
And then maybe to your friends. Imagine someone who he didn't finish an assignment and then you have to beat him to the point of killing to death.
Hmm.
I mean, that's definitely extreme. My heart goes out to the parents and then of that particular child. You know, but I think a lot has to be done. The educational system, of course, everything is in a rut.
True that.
You know, so much can be done. The teachers need to be...
I know. They need to be enlightened if that's what you are trying to say. I mean, some of these teachers, so to speak, and it's not to throw any shade on teachers. I mean, you're doing a good job. But you see, most times we need to you know, it would say touch light. We need to touch light on some of these happenings that needs to be corrected. Hello?
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Ngozi.
Welcome.
Yeah, speaking about teachers flogging kids.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, Andre, you just said something that was even why I called, that most teachers don't know. If you say they don't know, I would say it's not true.
Okay.
In Teachers Training College, that's TTC, for those teachers that pass through training college, you are not allowed to use cane on students.
Hmm.
Every teacher that went through TTC will tell you this same thing, Andre.
Hmm.
But I think the problem we have is the mentality. Even recently in Lagos State, I think there is even a law in the Lagos State public schools that teachers are not allowed to use cane on the people. So, but what happens is this our African mentality that you must flog a child.
Hmm.
I think that's the problem we are having.
Okay.
Even saying again, maybe some schools. I remember sometimes in the past, a teacher in my children's school was dismissed because of this cane thing. Even at that, you will still see many of them still hide and do this thing. Sometimes last month, my son, a 7-year-old, came back with one of the fingers bleeding. And what happened? That the class teacher flogged him. He was jumping on top of the seat. Instead of this teacher to call him to order, he decided to use stick on him and injured him.
Wow.
The woman was so...
We can barely hear you, Madam Ngozi. Okay. Do call us back. 0700-993-993-993. Hello?
Good afternoon. How do you call the line back?
Oh, okay. Good afternoon.
In line with what everybody has said, you see, Odobi.
Okay.
Many of us dress up to show up. Many people dress are depressed, you know, that's the place of where is the moderation, like Ngozi was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through teaching schools, right?
Yes.
You know, the laws and everything, it goes back to the school system, the principal. What are the rules they're giving to this teacher?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because most of these teachers, they are depressed in some ways, being economic wise, and they will carry the burden from their family to come
to transfer the aggression.
Yeah, so
okay,
it's the place of moderation now is the school, you know, placing it on the teachers. This and that, this kind of punishment, like that, we're talking about thick skin, all these other punishments, you know, moderate one. Not that you begin to, I don't know, that part, how they go about those things, yeah?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, I understand the fact that, yeah, everybody is frustrated. That sounded more like an excuse for me to hit. I mean, you're telling me that because a certain individual is frustrated, or a certain individual is depressed, or a certain individual has got problems in their homes, and that's good enough reason for you to transfer the aggression on my child. I think that having to take up the role as a teacher, it comes with a lot of responsibilities. It's just like me who is sitting here talking to you. Does not mean I don't have my problems, but I won't come here and transfer my problems on you. So I think that if a teacher is taking that role to teach a child, instilling discipline, yeah, but transferring your aggression or your frustration on a child, that is crossing the line as far as I'm concerned. 0700 993 993 993. Hello. Hi, good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Welcome. What's your name, please?
My name is Adekoya Adebayo.
Adekoya, welcome.
Yeah, I think one caller has almost spoken my...
Your mind.
Line up, yeah.
Okay.
It's a two-way thing. Yeah, I find out that what's the essence of a teacher? What's the motive behind the teacher disciplining a child in the first instance?
Mm-hmm.
Not even the teacher alone, parents, neighbors, helping you to discipline your child.
Yeah.
Is it based on the love to see that child become a better person?
Mm-hmm.
Or that person is doing it out of frustration?
Hmm.
So if you are disciplining your child, or as a teacher, discipline someone's child based on love, you can't beat that person to the extent that you so get carried away. And then, you know, you want to beat that person to the extent that that person have mark all over his body.
Yeah.
Body to the extent of, you know, the person eventually fainting or dying. The teacher in question must have noticed, if he's a very observant person,
yeah,
that this child is weak.
Hmm.
A child that has visited an hospital. If you are an observant teacher, you would have known that probably at that point in time, that child has a different look. Maybe
looking pale.
You must have noticed your student, the way they come to school on each day. And if he's telling you that he's weak or he's not well, you'll be able to trust that, oh, okay. Even if you think he's lying, you want to, like, take other, you know, options to look at him and say, okay, this person doesn't normally look like this.
Mm.
And when you know you're disciplining him, you are disciplining out of love.
Yeah.
You know, one or two cane is okay to just say, okay, I go and do the right thing. And if you correct him, if he comes back maybe the following or the next day, he didn't do the same thing, that's a different ball game.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, then it becomes, a different thing entirely, right?
Yeah, entirely.
Mm.
Once that's his first, offense, and then you want to just... I think that is to the extreme. And when you are beating out of frustration, it shows in your beating.
Mm.
That's when you see teachers beat child and then they have marks all over their body. Yeah, I think that's all right.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your contribution. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon. Welcome.
So this is Patience from Satellite Town.
Okay. Welcome, Patience.
I'm a teacher.
Ah, welcome. Welcome.
Yes. From what I've seen, although I work in different schools, I'm not permanently in one school.
Okay.
So I realize that there are like three things that create this mindless flogging.
Okay.
In schools.
Okay.
You have, that is from teachers. I feel that the financial status of the school,
okay,
is one of them.
Financial status of the school?
Yes, schools that pay fee in hundreds of thousands, you know.
Okay.
You go to such schools and...
You dare not touch my child after the money I'm paying?
You cannot, my sister.
Mm.
They won't try it. Teachers are even scared of, you know, yelling at a child. You get
it. Yeah. Yeah.
They go, when the parents come for the PTF, they let you know. They let you know straight.
Mm.
You don't touch my child. Don't touch my child. And even the school administrator doesn't want to lose kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you don't see these things. Another thing is that a lot of teachers, I'm a teacher and I have to say it, a lot of teachers are lazy.
Mm.
They don't want to do research. They don't want to find out a better way to discipline a child. What other ways, effective ways, can we use to discipline the kids? Put them in line, you know. Let them do what we want. Let things move smoothly. Yeah. No. The method they prefer is that 1960 method. They learned from their parents how to just kill a child. My kids are not in the school that I work. So when I go for PTF, sometimes I say it out. I say it out. Don't touch my child. Mm-hmm. I don't flog other people's children. Don't flog my child. You know, and unfortunately, sometimes when you complain, it's the parent like yourself that will be at the back saying, flog them. Hey, they're stubborn. You know, it just kills your morale. That is a parent that wants to complain.
Yeah.
And then finally, I feel that there is this transfer of aggression.
Yeah.
Teachers need to see, you know, I don't know what to call them.
A counselor? A professional?
Yes, that will help them manage their anger, manage their emotions. Some of these men are not supposed to be teaching. Some of them earn very tiny, you know, chicken feed for salary. They come to school. They are not happy.
We need
they
to go
their anger on the children.
Yeah,
I understand.
You.
So that's my...
All right, welcome back. 1:28 on the clock is still the sunny side with Joyce. But I am standing in for her. I am Andrea Adwobi Teke. We're still talking child discipline. I mean, are there other ways that we can instill discipline in our children without necessarily flogging them? The last caller, and this story, I mean, today's topic came about because of the story we saw on the internet. Of this young boy, a 13-year-old, that was beaten to death by his teacher. And, you know, he wasn't feeling so well. He had gone to the school clinic and he was told to go back because he was hungry. He had not eaten. Only for him to get to the class, the teacher asked for his assignment, and apparently he had not done his assignment. And this teacher used the handle of a bucket to beat this boy until he slumped and he was pronounced dead at the hospital. So this, I mean, like I said earlier, it is not the first of many stories. There have been stories and cases of teachers who have beaten children in schools till their death or some near-death experience. And then we're asking, we're not saying don't discipline these children, all right? But what are the other best ways that we can instill discipline in our children without necessarily flogging them? And then if you want to flog them, how much is too much? How much is too much? I mean, the last call I made a very valid point, and I was saying, you know, if you go to a school where you pay, you know, a lot of school fees, right? You have the right to determine or demand that no teacher should touch your child. But you find out that in schools where it's either a public school or a school where the parents pay a very less amount of money, you find out that they treat these children the way they like. And I was also saying off the mic that if the role of a teacher, or so to speak, this teaching as a career or as a profession, it has to come with a lot of passion. Passion for the job, passion for the children, passion for seeing a child learn and the process of a child growing, you know, during the learning process. But if that is not your focus, if the focus is on the money and how much you're being paid, then automatically you won't pay attention to the child or the child's needs. You're all about, okay, your parents, how much are your parents paying? I mean, that's just what I'm thinking. 0700-993-993-993. Hello, good afternoon. Hello.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, this is Kenneth Quaid.
Welcome.
I called before for COVID-19 issues.
Okay. Welcome. Let's talk discipline.
Yeah, I want to make a contribution here. The last caller that called and was saying something about the school to have proper medical attention.
Yes.
Before the kids come into the class. Because a lot of parents, they are always conscious of their job. They go out very early as early as 4:35, they have left the house. They don't even know the condition of their children. They only care about their job. Because why they have a girl or nanny in the house, they expect that the nanny can do it. But they don't know that the love of a father and a mother is needed in the home.
Mm.
That is why I always advise everyone that is working in Lagos to always think twice before you make a decision, because there must be one person left at home. Either the mother stay at home or the father stay at home. You understand?
Okay, wait, are you talking about discipline now? You're talking about the health,
yes,
of the child.
I'm talking about discipline from the parent.
Okay.
Not all about the school or the...
Okay. Mm.
So what I'm saying is, these parents, you always look after their kids before they send them to school.
Okay. All right.
Because you don't need to put all blame on the teacher that put the child to death.
Mm.
I didn't say that what she did was right.
Yeah. I mean, nobody thinks it's right. But thank you. Thank you for that. I mean, he made a valid point. As parents, it's also fair that we know how our children are faring health-wise. And I think that in some schools, they also demand for health record of your child. I remember before enrolling my child for just a summer school, I was asked to come up with his immunization record, you know, and what have you. So, yeah, that also comes into play. So that's a valid point. But we're talking discipline. Are there other ways that we can instill discipline in our children without necessarily flogging them? And if at all we want to flog them, how much is too much? Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, my name is Mr. Dokubo.
Oh, welcome.
I was at a federal government college back in the day.
Okay.
I remember that there was a similar incident, but it involved a senior when we're in like JSS 1.
Okay.
The senior was about to beat somebody, right, who had just come from the sick bay.
Okay.
So when the senior was about to beat him, all the students, both male and female, they just started shouting at the same time. Oh, he's just coming from the sick bay. He's sick. Now, this guy was a very, very wicked senior. But immediately he heard what the student said. He stopped and he left the guy alone.
Hmm.
Now, my main issue with this report is like, what kind of human being beats somebody that's sick or beats somebody that comes from the sick bay, if not somebody that's suffering from mental illness? That teacher, you understand, needs to be checked.
Mm.
Number one. Number two, there's no actual real problem with flogging, as long as you understand you don't overbeat too much. Everybody has been flogged right from even before I entered secondary school. They've been flogging all of us in primary school. Nothing happened to us. Nobody was killed.
Mm.
You understand? It's like the issue I'm really having is how does somebody flog somebody that's sick, if not that the person himself is sick?
I mean, you might want to give excuse for her that she was not, I mean, she didn't know that the child was sick.
Because what I heard was something like that. There were students too present, and they had explained to the teacher that this person is sick. That's what I heard. I'm not too sure.
Oh, really?
I'm not really sure, though.
Ah, okay. I mean, that's not what I saw in the report as well.
Okay. That's my contribution, though.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Andrea.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. This story is just a very pathetic one.
As in, my head was just spinning when I saw it.
Wow. I'm just praying to God to give the family the heart to bear the irreparable loss.
Mm.
So I want to come like this from this angle.
Okay.
You know, I hear some people saying my children should not be flogged.
Yeah.
Don't flog my child.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, if someone entered... Just assume that somebody entered moto and the moto had an accident. Someone died.
Hmm.
Because hit somebody.
Then you don't enter moto again.
Moto to the hospital. You say, oh no, let us use bicycle because moto hit somebody. Let us use bicycle and take the person to the hospital.
Hmm.
Then when you reach there, if something happened again, say, no, we will not use moto. We use leg because to knock somebody down.
Mm.
Or when the person will be going another, all those kind of things. And let us just reason very well.
Mm.
Because this thing that happened wasn't a deliberate act.
Okay.
It wasn't a deliberate act.
Okay.
So they will not start the flogging of children. So,
I mean, but...
Hello?
Go ahead.
Those teachers, they are even our second parents. They are helping us.
Yeah.
If you see where they are not flogging or not correcting those children, they might even choose not to to teach themselves, just leave them the way the parents want them to leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, the byproduct will not be what you bargain for.
Mm-hmm.
You not even like what you see. Maybe you say, oh, this boy is not doing well, because you don't let them to give them the training. They're supposed to get. You understand?
Right, yeah.
It's not about, don't flog my child.
Mm.
I don't buy that idea at all.
Okay.
Even our mothers. No, it's not only one person that takes care of a child.
Mm.
Many families do put her and take care of children.
Mm.
But now, don't flog my child. It's not because that thing happened. Everybody will be saying, don't flog my child.
Mm.
It wasn't a deliberate act. And
okay.
That woman said, so to sort the whole thing out, the woman committed two count charges, child abuse, and the murder case. So the law will hold her for that.
Absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
Everything, say, because
all right.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, we're not saying that we should not discipline our children. In fact, if you see a parent who ever comes out to say, don't discipline my child, or never disciplines their child, they're actually setting up that child for a huge failure, you know, and also a failure on their own part as parents, you know. So we're not saying that we shouldn't discipline our children. And we're also not saying don't flog, right? But if you're flogging this child, how much is too much? And then are there other ways that we can instill discipline without necessarily flogging a child? Or is flogging the only way that we can instill discipline in our children? That's what we're trying to find out. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I prefer to remain anonymous.
Anonymous. Oh, okay.
Number one, my heart goes to the parents.
Mm.
The child just died. It's a very serious issue.
Absolutely.
Very, very serious. Then you see, I'm a teacher, alhamdulillah. Sorry, baby. Now, I'm a teacher for over two decades. See, there are a lot of frustration in teaching children. And the problem is that in the school, we have children from different homes. We have some children who are well catered for in their home, who are well respected in their home. And we have some children who are not. So this put a lot of pressure on teachers. So what I usually advise is that the school, because some teachers don't know how to, they flog out of frustration.
Mm.
We do the training sometimes and we're reminded that what usually makes teachers to flog, because flogging is not in teaching.
Mm.
But what makes us to flog is out of frustration. So what I usually advise school, like where I was teaching before, was that let there be a panel for discipline.
Okay.
That panel is not next. It may be flogging. It may be go and write 1 million times. I will not do that again. But that panel, that panel should be so powerful that when you tell a child in your class, I'm reporting it to the panel, that child will sit up.
Hmm.
So power will be given to that panel to discipline the children.
Okay.
So the teacher will always be a saint to this, because the teacher always have to look like a saint to the children.
Hmm.
You always have to look like a saint. So the teacher will not beat, the teacher will not frown, the teacher will always smile. But if you don't do certain things that are necessary for you to do to learn, then I will report you to the panel.
Hmm.
May God make it easy for us.
Hmm.
Teaching,
alhamdulillah,
we thank God. And the parents. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I know. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution. I mean, she gave a good idea. Good idea. Having a panel in schools. Hello.
Well, good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name?
Hey, my name is Sam.
Hi, Sam. Welcome.
You're doing a wonderful and a good job. God bless you.
Thank you.
And I remember you belong to the Techers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I remember when you and your husband discussed something.
Absolutely.
How we were beating when we were kids.
Mm.
Immediately, it's like a deja vu. Immediately, this topic came up.
Yeah, I know.
I remember. What we parents don't know, I don't have a child yet, but what we parents, our old parents don't know is that this thing is like from generation to generation, and it has become an affliction. Mm. And we feel it's the only way, just like what people will say.
Yeah.
Like the elderly woman I called, I knew she was elderly from the way she was talking. She said, it's not the one person that will train a child.
Mm.
Everybody has the responsibility to train their child the way they are, so that they will not become a menace to the society.
Yeah.
And everybody has the right to tell anybody not to eat my child.
Mm.
You don't have to eat another person's child. There are millions and thousands of ways to discipline a child. And that controversial Bible verse,
train up a child in the way he should go.
Is it the spare the rod? Exactly.
Okay.
I can say it anyway. It's very, very fraudulent.
Oh, really?
It's very, very fraudulent.
Why so? Why so?
Fine. Now, look at the cases you mentioned now.
Yeah.
The child were beaten and the child reacted immediately, right?
Mm.
Fine. What of kids that were beaten that were affected mentally?
Mm.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here with you. I'm here.
Kids that were beaten, that were beaten, affected mentally.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction never came up immediately, maybe after 1 year.
Yeah. Or even when they're adults.
Exactly. Mm. Because I can still remember, like I was beaten by a particular man. I went to Abuja. I didn't see him. Had it been I saw him, I would have. Only God knew what I wanted to do to him.
To pay him back with his own coin?
And now I'm in my 30s, but he's still ringing in my head.
Wow.
This is just stopping. You can discipline a child immediately. Or you restrict them for the things they love.
Mm.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. They will sit up.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you beat a child. From there, with your anger, you do what you're not meant to do to them.
Yeah.
Which is bad.
All right, thank you so much. We have, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that we have Facebook messages. Okay, let me see if I can take a few before we go back to the phone lines. Prince Leo Ozoma said, a child must be trained by all for the interest of all. The point is disciplining the child in moderation, and moderation must have positive effect on the child. Anything less will be pampering the child, which is dangerous, and more is to hardening up the child to continue on the body. Okay. I think what you're trying to say there is moderation, and I think that's what it is. Jude Chat here says, if not for spanking, some of us for don't spoil finish. It kept us humble. Okay. Another here is saying, okay, I think that's a bit. You can drop your WhatsApp, a comment on Facebook, right? Yeah, you can drop comments on Facebook. Let's see. I think there are a lot more coming in, right? Okay. Matunde, is that your name? Wallace Amin says, it's left for us as a mother. Okay, don't come. Okay, I don't understand what she's saying. Okay, let's see. Another here is saying, good afternoon all. Yes, it should be, but not all the time. Only on special occasions. And always make sure that after the whole spanking exercise, you let them know why. I think that's also important. Another here, this lover, she's saying, please stop this kind of moral destruction topics. Okay. Another here is saying, I just wonder how we're allowing civilization destroy everything we have. If I spank my child, come and arrest me. Okay. Another is saying, this is from Gaba Sadiq said, I was happy to see you guys live on Nigeria Info. Okay, thank you. I think we'll go back to the phone lines right now. 0700-993-993-993. Hello? Okay. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I've been trying to call you, hope. I don't know. You have numerous callers and the time is limited anyway.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Oh, my goodness. Okay. 0700-993-993-993. Hello?
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, my name is Dan, calling from here.
Welcome.
Yes. I want us to look at this scenario at another angle.
Okay.
what if maybe as the child was beaten without the iron handle of a bucket or anything like that, then maybe something happened to the child, but it did not maybe affect him or maybe react quickly, but rather after the 2 hours when he got home, then the child died. Do you get the point that I'm coming from?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so in the area of maybe punishing or maybe like drilling the child, like another caller said, you maybe punish him or her by writing maybe a sentence of maybe 1 million times. Maybe, I'm sorry, I won't do it again.
Okay.
Or there is other ways of punishing the child. In my time, when I was in primary school, my punishment, if I do anything wrong, both in school and at home, I have to like maybe squat for some hours or probably cross my hands to hold my ears or probably put one of my legs, hang it on the wall or maybe in the air, then one of my finger up, then one on the ground.
Yeah.
I think this thing will at least help instead of maybe using any other hard objects on the child.
Okay.
So I think...
Okay, so you're saying other kinds of punishment other than using,
exactly, iron stuff or
a cane to flog.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Okay, all right, thank you so much. All right, 0700-993-993-993.
Hello. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome.
Hello, Andre. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you too?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Talk to me.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask is, the question I need to ask, because I'm just short of words. Must the teacher eat student with iron? That's the clause there. That's the question I need to ask.
I don't even know why nobody's looking at what the teacher used to flog the child. You know, that actually got me, okay. So, yeah, go ahead. I'm here.
So, for that, I believe they must tell our teacher, they must teach them how to behave even when they are in school. Because if there's any hunger in them at home, they shouldn't take that to the school. Have to leave it at home. So for them to be misbehaving to their pupils at school, I think that is wrong. For eating a student with iron. So that's the clause I saw there.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. I remember when I think I was in GS1 at the time. Was it GS1 or so, where a certain math teacher used wire, you know, on me. And it was on my head that time. I bled so much that I went back home. And it was my uncle who followed me back to the school, you know, cause wahala. Why did you do that? You know, if I told you want to spank her, use something else. Why use wire? You know. Anyway, let's hear from you. Hello?
Yeah, good afternoon, Michelle.
Welcome. My name is Andrea.
Okay, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, your voice is like they clone you people to have one voice.
Really now? I don't like that.
I don't like it. Withdraw the word.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You see, I have been listening to this program since, and I pray, thank God I'm in. You see, the major challenge we have in scriptural interpretation is interpretation.
Okay.
If you check the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, when you want to apply a scripture, hook, line, and sinker, you must have an example. That statement in scripture, spare the rod, spoil the child, or whatever people call it, that's not the way it is really.
Okay.
But it is the rod of correction. It's not the rod of beating. It is by implication that you say, okay, it is the rod, maybe it includes spanking and what have you. But basically what it is the rod of correction. And this is the way to apply scripture. If it is the rod of beating, can you show me one single father in the Bible that took rod to beat his child? Absolutely none. So when people now begin to use scripture and they have no example, they have no basis, they have no reference to it, they later kill it. That's what the Bible says, by the Spirit giveth life. So it is the rod of correction. And correction, sometimes somebody can correct you, it can be, the impact can be deeper than beating.
Mm.
And this is what people are supposed to understand. I have three children, they are in their mid-teens now to their 20s. And I've never for one day raised my hand to beat any one of them. And I can boast. I can tell
you all. But
my children are the best children I've ever met anywhere on the planet Earth.
Wow.
There was not a single day of beating. But sometimes when I use words on them, of course, not negative words,
okay,
it enters into them and they get it right.
Hmm.
Even in these days of Yahoo, I woke up one morning to realize that my son had veered off, but the rod of correction brought him back. And he came to me one day and made confession and said, Daddy, that word was deeper than beating.
Mm.
I've learned the lesson.
Mm.
So it is not about hitting. It is about correction. And consistently, don't be tired about it. Don't be angry about it.
Mm.
You get it right as a parent.
All right, thank you. I was going to say you are one patient parent, because not every parent would be that patient not to hit their child. Trust me. I mean, I remember when I started doing the discipline process with my child, and at first it was tough. I spank him and he does nothing. And I felt it's like spanking this boy is not exactly instilling the kind of discipline I need from the child. And so I devised this new means. I call it a naughty room. So if I notice that he has done something that isn't polite, I tell him, I'll take you to the naughty room. And in some cases, I don't take him. In other cases, I do take him to the naughty room. And he's going to be there for minutes. And then I bring him out and tell him, okay, so this is why I put you there, because you did this and you did that. And I've realized that on subsequent occasions, that thing he did that made me take him to the naughty room, he runs away from it. So sometimes some children, beating them does not even get the job done. Flogging doesn't even get the job done sometimes, you know. Anyway, let's hear from you, Lagos. We're going to break shortly. And afterwards, we'll continue the conversation. It's still The Sunny Side with Joyce. I am Andrea Aljobi. Take care. Stay with us. Welcome back. 5 minutes gone past the hour, 2 o'clock, and it's still The Sunny Side with Joyce. I am Andrea Oduobi Teke, standing in for Joyce. And just before we went on the break, we're still talking discipline. And I think that is that point where we wrap up the conversation. And what stood out for me, basically, with what we what everybody's had to say about, you know, disciplining a child. I know for sure that there are other measures, there are other ways that we can instill discipline in our children without necessarily flogging. And if at all that we want to flog our children, I think that it should be done in moderation. And the last caller got it all for me. The fact that people use that, the scripture that says, you spare the rod and you spoil the child. For me, this is how I interpret that particular scripture. The rod there does not necessarily mean flogging or using a rod to hit a child. Right, that's what I think, though. For me, it's more about discipline the child. If you don't discipline him or her, you spoil him or her. That's what it means for me. And discipline could come in any form. I remember I shared my own story about my son. I mean, he is 17 months. He's not, you know, 2 yet. But I've noticed that he's growing. Sometimes I say that he's growing more than his age, you know. And the things I see him do, and if I don't start correcting him and just leave, oh, he's a child, he would understand. Or he's a child, when he's grown, I would be able to start instilling discipline. But I realized that, you know, when I started instilling discipline, so to speak, I started with spanking him, which I still do from time to time. But I realized that spanking him is also teaching him to spank. So when I spank him, sometimes he spanks me back. And I'm like, who is the spanker? And who is the spanky? Right? So I had to look for another measure and something that worked for me was the naughty room. I had to, you know, just design somewhere in the room. Sometimes I lock him in the spare room or lock him in the toilet and tell him, stay there until I'm ready to let you out. And he'll be there, he'll cry. And whenever I mention naughty room, he readjusts himself. So what I'm trying to say is, I know that for some people, flogging is the easiest way, all right? But there are other ways. And another thing is, sometimes, right, the way we flog our children, it leaves more mental torture than actually the physical torture, so to speak. So I think that's my bit. We'll change and switch gears shortly. The whole life that I see buses and people still want to talk about child discipline. I know, but we have to switch gears right now. And this particular conversation has to do with you being married or not, right? We'll take a short breather. When I come back, I'll share with you what, I mean, the particular write-up or this person's concern. You tell me what you think. And you also tell me, if you are single, you want to share with me why you're single. What are your reasons for remaining single? And if you're married, I mean, if you want to share as well, why you decided, you know, to be in a union with someone else. We'll talk about that shortly. Stay with me.
This is The Sunny Side. My name is Joyce.
Tune in to The Sunny Side with Joyce every weekday from 12 to 3 p.m.
Expect so much fun right here. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Right, so at black_witch, what a name. She posted something on a Twitter. This is a tweet from this particular individual. She says, seeing dad still hustling for school fees at 60, they sad me. If you can comfortably take care of yourself and a partner, try settle down on time. Get you a hardworking woman and build together. There's really nothing out there again. Grow with your kids at 50. Let your rest start. Okay, and she went ahead to say, because you marry at 35 and at 50, your first child will be 14 or 15, thereabout. And she says, I know everything is in black and white and life is unpredictable, but I know one day, go PTA meeting at 50. Now, this is person's... That's her own, what do I call it, reservation when it comes to getting married early. But I want us to talk about this marriage thing. It seems like a lot of people are being pressured and for different reasons to get married on time. For some people, it's probably to start and have your kids on time. I mean, just like what this individual said, marry and have your kids so that you can start resting from probably 50 upwards, you know. And some people would say get married early so that you can, basically almost the same reason, right? But are these reasons to be considered when it has to do with marriage? For me, I don't think that marriage should be pressured on any angle. Even though this could be a concern, I'm one of those who would say, hey, I want to have my children early enough so that I can, you know, rock my, my baby girl self much, much later, you know. But why do we get pressured? Why do we get pressured to get married? And if you're a single person, you have chosen to stay or remain single, what are your reasons? Is it the right man isn't coming? The right woman isn't coming? You haven't seen the right person to start up a life together with? Because at the end of the day, marriage is a long haul and it has to do with a lot of put-togethers. And put-togethers is not just financially. Financially is a factor, but mentally is most of a factor. So... I mean, let's talk about this thing. Are you on that boat that says that, I mean, get married early, have kids early so that you won't be going for PTAs in your 60s and you won't be hustling for school fees at your 60, when you're 60? Are you on that boat as well? Or you're just, I mean, I'm not bothered about this. Hello?
Andrea.
Hi, hello. What's up? Welcome.
Yeah, I'm not from West of Lagos, so you know that.
I wanted to scream it, but I had to hold it back. You know, you feel me? It's the sunny side. Go ahead, talk
to me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You have introduced another topic, right?
Yes, I have.
Can I contribute on the first one?
Oh. But we've closed that cutting, you know.
Okay, no problem then. So, based on the new topic you just introduced, let me tell you, I didn't get pregnant, I wouldn't have been where I am today. I would have gone far. Then, on the other hand, I bless God, I've given birth to 3 kids and I said I'm no longer doing it again.
Okay.
No matter what. That place I haven't get, so I want to get there. That is my goal now. That is what I'm pursuing now. But I do tell my younger ones, babe, just pursue your goal. Get that thing first before you think of marriage. Or else you will suffer.
Okay.
Or else you will suffer. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that one. I mean, people are also on that boat that says you have to gather all that you can gather. Get a career, get a life before getting married. Hello.
Get a wife before getting married.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. It's afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hi. It's afternoon.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm fine. So we are done for another topic. Yeah.
Yes, so.
Yeah, that's nice. May I refer back to the old topic?
But we have closed that curtain.
Yeah. I just want to correct an impression.
Can you drop a WhatsApp message? If you can drop a WhatsApp message, that would be great. Thank you. Okay. Hello.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, Nae. This is Andrea, okay? 0700-993-993-993.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, welcome.
Yeah, it's Sam calling back.
Okay, welcome.
So let me talk about this topic you have now. It's very important.
Yes.
And I even thought for you bringing it up.
Okay.
Because you were saying people are saying have kids early, this one.
Yes.
Yeah, so a lot of things are really wrong that people don't really know. We are having kids for them to progress, or we are having kids so that we can eat the fruit of our labor. Because I don't understand. Because when we have kids, for you to have kids is your responsibility. Yes. Or better still, the essence of marriage is not for having kids, but people don't know.
So what's the essence, though? Do you want to educate us on that?
I just feel it's companionship. That's it, matrimony, companionship. That's why I see a lot of people ignorantly, if your wife does not have a child, or the man cannot have divorce, I'll be like, really? Why can't you go and have...
Adopt it.
Exactly, adopt. And if you cannot adopt, so be it. You can be like that for the rest of your life. But who will take over my name? That mentality. Take over my name. Wow, really? So a lot of... We need to unlearn so many things in our society.
Okay.
You understand? We need to... There are so many things we'll be taught right from childhood that we've been brainwashed with. So regardless of anywhere we go to in this world, we take it along. You need to unlearn so many things. My mother keep asking me, she needs it. I told her, my younger brother has given birth, he's married, so what for? She kept quiet. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about how my brain will be set to you. You're telling me to have a child. So what does that supposed to mean?
And so man, I get you, actually.
You don't expect me to have a child and not take care of the child. I'll be a fool. I'd rather have a child, even though I'm 60, I can have a child. And when I give it to the child and the foundation of the child is okay, and if I'm lucky, when I'm 90, the child will be 30.
Right.
Look at this man now. He's 90-something, and he has two new twins. That's the man that owned Baba Ijebu. I don't want to mention him.
It's
understand?
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your contribution. I know, I mean, some people say, like he said, and the tweet I read earlier, marry, have children, and move on with your life. Hello.
Hello, Andrea. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Hope.
Hi, Hope. Welcome.
Nice to meet you.
Same here.
So based on personal experience, I would say that each to his own. Some people make plans for how their life wants to be.
Yeah.
And things don't turn out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why some people are deliberate about what they want and they go after it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I married at 29.
Okay.
To a lady of 28.
Okay.
So, before we married, I saw that she has passion for what she wants to pursue. She is a legal practitioner, and I'm a businessman. So I said, okay, I'm going to support you to become who you want to be. But she made it clear that she rather have children at the early stage of her marriage, so that she will be through with that, then later pursue her career.
Okay.
And by God's grace, God has blessed us with two wonderful children, and we are raising them together. Now she has the time to go for her business, her career, or whatever she wants to do. I am here to support her dreams. And when she has to go out early mornings or when she comes back late, I am there to stand in the gap for her.
Wow.
Since the nature of my business allows me to go out when I want to and come back earlier than supposed. I made the sacrifices for us to build a family and have time for our kids. So the fact that it happened for me that way doesn't mean that that should be for everybody.
Absolutely. I was going to say that you are one different man.
Yes. So you just check out your life. What are you doing? What's your partner to? How can you balance things up? She's currently going on a deal now that will take her out of town for maybe a week or two. Okay. That means I have to make the sacrifices to be
with the children.
To deal with the children.
Wow, that's rare, you know. That's really rare.
My money is our money. So, we are going to borrow the money when she comes back with you.
So,
all you just to get somebody that understands you, understands your dream, and supports your dream. You can start life, doesn't matter at what age.
Okay, all right. Makes sense. I mean, he says it doesn't matter the age, as long as you have someone who, you know, can support your dreams. And it could differ. Some people choose to get married early and start having kids almost immediately. Why some people would say, no, even if I'm married, I would wait for a while before I start having kids. I mean, what works for you? Hello? 0700-993-993-993. Hello? Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good afternoon. Oh, welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm fine here. I read that post yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Talk to
on
me.
On Instagram. And I was like, does this person really think deeply?
Why did you say so?
He can marry early and not have children.
Absolutely.
For like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that has nothing to do with going for PTA or whatever. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I got married at 32.
Okay.
I had my first child at 35 or 34.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick him in school now.
Wow.
So that is what he should think deeply. And there are people that wait to give birth to children for 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So getting married early has nothing to do with that.
I agree with you. Thank you so much. Thank you for dropping that one. 0700-993-993-993. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Ngozi.
Okay.
I think getting married, whether early or late, it doesn't really matter for me. But what matters most times is getting married to the right person. If you marry your right partner, whether it's late, you will still get to achieve what you want to achieve in life. Yes, the problem we do have here most times is people marry for the wrong reason. Most African marriages, they actually marry for procreation. So, and if that's the case for you as an individual, that means you need to do that early enough in life so that you'll be able to train the kids when you are still much strong and you are able to cater for them. I do have one lecturer back in school days
As at then, when he was my lecturer, he was about 60-something. And he was not married.
Hmm.
I know he later got married before we left the university.
Yeah.
And now he died sometimes 2 months ago. And I know the children are still very small, even like in primary school, maybe primary six or thereabouts.
Hmm.
So one would have said if only he married earlier, he would be able to train those
children.
But I tell you, man proposed, God disposed.
Absolutely.
Somebody may marry and the person may not have the time or maybe be blessed to procreate at the same time. It will take some 20 years, even though they married early. So they still get to achieve whatever. The main reason is, know the single reason why you are getting married. That's number one.
Yeah.
Are you marrying for procreation? Are you marrying for companionship? So if you place yourself where you will be able to do better and understand each other better.
All right. Yeah. That made sense. That made a lot of sense. Thank you so much for that one. Hello. Hello? Hello? Okay. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, my name is Victor.
Hi.
Ikorodu.
Victor from Ikorodu, talk to us.
Yes. Well, in the issue of marriage, you know, I just want us to understand one thing when it comes to marriage. Some people are talking about companion, this and that.
Yeah.
Originally, you know, marriage is something that God by his own very self ordained. And there's also a blessing attached to that. So, marriage is something that nowadays people go into marriage with different reasons.
Yes.
But the most important thing is, one, as somebody once earlier said that, getting married to the right person.
Yes.
If you're married to the right person, you will enjoy marriage. It's only when you get married to a wrong person that is when you run into trouble. So, and having children, I tell you, that children is the main blessing behind marriage. I'm telling you. And having children early, I still see it better. It's better to get married early than to get married late.
Okay. So I mean, the reason, what's your reason for saying that it's better to marry early than marry late?
No, listen.
Okay.
If you, for instance, in my own case now, let me use myself as a case study here. I got married exactly at the age of 24.
Okay.
And I have about 5 children now. My first son is almost 12. So you can imagine, if you now add my age with that one, you know exactly the age I am now. You see? So that is good on that side. But the only thing I know is that the disadvantage aspect of it is early marriage comes with so many challenges. So many challenges, especially psychologically, you know? As a young person, you may not be matured enough in some certain areas.
That's right.
Yes, I'm coming here. So, yes.
Okay, we need to go on a break quickly. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. It's still the sunny side with Joyce, but I'm standing in for her. I am Andrea Odubi. Take a check. Your time is 2:28 on the clock. And we're still talking. I mean, it's a marriage conversation right now. Are you team marry early and have your kids early, or team marry much later and have your kids much later? I mean, the pressure to even get married on its own, it's a lot. It's a lot, and not talk of having children, either early or not early. But you know, let's talk. Hello. Hello. Okay. 0700 993 993 993. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What's up? Good afternoon.
Very well. Good afternoon. So, I don't think it's marriage should be based on when you get to a particular age to get married.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are getting it wrong in this part of the world. You know, even some parents, when their children are maybe say 21, and it's like, when are you getting married?
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like a number, something like six.
Yes.
And if you ask me, that's really where we have so many abnormal people everywhere now.
When you say abnormal, you know, what do you mean?
Abnormal in the sense that people are not well. Because they are not, like last person said, you know, when you get married early, you're not even finished becoming a human, a person. You're not going to start bringing some children. You know, so all of that just complicates things, you know.
Yeah.
We are just rotating people who are not well, and that's not fair. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It complicates issues. Everywhere you go to now, there are just so many people. Okay, take for instance now. I was telling somebody recently that when I went to school, I remember that in boarding house then, whatever they cook in the dining, everybody would eat because you don't have the option of going anywhere to buy anything. But the parents of today, whatever their children say, I want chicken, they go and give. I want food. Do you get? So
yeah.
We are having children that are coming from this whole background of, okay, you need to marry. People should just marry when they are ready to marry. If you see children who come out from mature, happy homes, they are different.
Yeah.
So people should marry when they are ready to marry.
Okay.
Because children is not the most important thing in marriage. You should stop making that mistake. The most important thing in marriage is having a good partner.
Yeah.
Because children are transient. They will come and go.
Yeah.
So you need to be married to be living with somebody who you are happy with. That's first, before children.
I agree. Thank you so much. I mean, marriage on its own is a huge responsibility. It comes with so much responsibility. How much more having children? Children on their own is a different package. Trust me, I'm a married woman and I have just one son. And I know. Trust me, I know. Hello? Okay, 0700-993-993-993. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
My name is Henry. I'm calling from Aja area.
Welcome, Henry.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, your discourse is on early marriage and late marriage.
Yes.
Okay. For me, I married at the age of 28.
So is that early or late? 28, is it early or late?
For myself, I feel it's later.
So you would have married like 18?
At 22. Let me tell you the reason why I say so.
Okay.
Some people are 22, but they are much, so much, and they have character of someone who is 35.
Mm-hmm.
They behave like that. Why some people are 35? They behave like someone that is 18 years. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
So... So, by age, I married at 28, you understand?
Okay.
And by the grace of God, I have three children. The three of them are in the university.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You're doing well.
Thank you. So, what I want to say is, I have a friend here. It's about my age. She's not married. I'm the one that is trying to tell her, no, you wasted so much time. Hello. You wasted so much time. Now, you have a girlfriend. Marry the girlfriend. You've been dating this girl over 5 years. You know?
Yeah.
Just marry the girl. Now, I want to tell you something.
Okay.
The issue, why we marry, me, Jolly, is for procreation. It's to have children, good children, who will come and take care of you when you are not able to walk again in life. Yes, those children will be the one that will come and take care of. Even if you see all these children, they are all our children. In those days, it's not one person that trained a child. The community, everybody trained a child. Yes, they are all our children. So the woman who said marriage is for this, that the children are not so important. No, children will always come.
Yeah.
They will always come when you are old. Yes, you maintain a good relationship with your wife. That is okay. Even when I got married at the age of 28, My wife, we just courted for about 3 years. When we got married, even my husband said, what do I even want in this marriage? I was asking myself, what do I need in this marriage? And then I asked myself, this woman I've courted 3 years, this woman is nice. And I tell you, we have been together just like that. Till now, she's still with me. She's like my mother. She behaves like my mother that gave birth to me. That's the way she behaves.
So are you saying, what you're trying to say is marrying early has higher advantage compared to marrying...
Yeah, it's better. Now, I'm almost done with training my children at this age. So that, my friend, if you get married, when will you train them?
Okay.
Yes, when will you train them?
All right, thank you so much. But you know, sometimes life does not happen just the way we plan it. There's some people who get married early, but it took them like 20 years to have children. It took them like 16 years to have children, or even less or more, you know. Hello?
Hello, Andrea. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sorry, I have to call back because of what the last caller just said.
Okay.
I think, honestly, as Africans, we have problems. Each time we say we copy from, there's nothing like copying. See, we parents are the problem of the society we have today. You cannot tell me you get married to have kids that will take care of you when you are old. For goodness sake, why do we keep pressurizing this younger one? See the way Nigeria is looking, no job for these youth. No wonder a lot of them go into illegal things just to fulfill the dreams of their so-called parents.
Mm.
We should stop all of this, Andrea. Oyibo will have all the money in this world and will it to motherless babies home. I keep telling my kids, even though they are still young, but I say it to them any day, anytime, I don't owe them anything. What I owe them is education.
Mm-hmm.
Once I give them good education, the one I can afford, I don't owe them anything, Andrea. They should go out there and hustle. Any money I have is for me and my husband for old age.
Mm.
That's why exactly the topic you are discussing. You see people like 60, 70, they are still struggling. They are still on the street doing what? No retirement, no time to live and enjoy your life.
Mm.
Parents should learn to save for their old age. They should learn to do health insurance scheme for their old age. And leave their children to cater for their own kids and not dragging them into what they don't know.
Mm.
As a child, yes, I can assist my parents if I'm well enough to do that. That does not mean my parents will be expecting so much of me and heap all their life burdens on me. It doesn't work that way. That's the problem we have. And that's why the society is a mess.
Mm.
And people want to do everything to please their parents. No wonder many parents don't even ask the children where they get the money from. Because you want your child to come and grow and take care of you. Stop all of this.
Thank you so much, Madam Ngozi. You see why I've been giggling is because this particular conversation we've had it several times on What's Up Lagos. The phone lines are buzzing off the hook. Right. You know, the statement even from the tweet that we read, it had this undertone of, you know, you saying that my children would be, you know, my social security scheme. I think that's what a lot of African parents actually looking out for. Okay, have your children early so that you can rest. And then it should now become the turn of the parents to start taking care of you. I mean, the children start taking care of you as a parent. But it's all about you. Let me know what you think, right? I don't want to put my thoughts in your thoughts. So talk to me. 0700-993-993-993. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Osaremen.
Welcome.
Yeah. Okay, contributing to the topic, my own take on this, it doesn't matter when you actually get married and start having children.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a caller say that you will give birth and the children will take care of you at your old age. Now, here's the point. You can give birth early and your children don't progress or don't have, how will I put it now? They don't have as much as, they don't have, they don't progress.
Yeah.
Then another person who gives birth late, the child can, you know, can progress more than the person that gave birth early. For example, the owner of Patricia, he's just 25 years old and he's a millionaire. Some people that are 40, they do not have the kind of money that he has. So you cannot tell me that, oh, because I'm giving birth early, that means that my child or my children are going to be successful. We shouldn't put pressure on people. Allow people marry when they have to marry.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter when people get married. That's my contribution.
Okay, thank you so much for that one. So fierce. 0700-993-993-993. Hello.
Hallelujah,
Andre. Oh my God. Have you been calling?
I've been calling for goodness. Maybe 30 minutes since you started.
Wow. Thank God you made it.
Where's your partner?
Well, it's just me on the sunny side, you know.
Okay. Yes. Back to the topic. Like everybody has been saying, it's better to marry when you find the person to marry. Abi, you woman go marry himself.
I don't understand, though. I've just been
keeping... Now, when you find person when you go marry, do you understand?
Yeah.
I never wanted to marry at 25. I didn't. Because, you see, marriage needs some kind of maturity.
Yeah.
So it's important that people do what they want to do when they are ready.
Yeah.
So that whatever they see, they can deal with.
Yeah.
But when we put pressure on male and female that they should marry at a particular age, they make mistake and they are pressurized to do the wrong thing. So like other people have said, my brother married a 24-year-old girl, and for 7 years they didn't have a child. They waited until they now have two daughters.
Wow.
So it's important that we know that children are from God. That you marry at 24 does not mean you will get belay 9 months after. You will be born 9 months after. Or you will get belay immediately. There are people who marry late and still they conceive immediately. God
has
a way of leveling things.
The race
is not to the swift.
Yeah.
I always tell people that the race is not... The fact that you did something first does not mean you'll be able to sustain it well. So
true.
The best thing to do is... do it when you are psychologically ready. Because marriage is not hard work.
And they tell you.
Not
my sister.
Marriage is not hard work. Then ask the king join now.
You know what?
I wish you now good luck with
good
you.
Luck to you too. Goodness. Okay, hello. do call me back, please. 0700-993-993-993. Hello.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi, what's up, Lagos? Sorry.
Please help me and tell...
Sunny side. Hey, God have mercy on me. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
No problem. I understand.
Okay, go ahead, please.
So, help me and tell that woman. There is a woman, two people that called before this last caller that called, we blessed them in Igbo language.
Oh, okay.
You know one thing, I have called earlier.
Yes.
If I did not give birth at age 20, I focused on my studies, I know where I would have been. You see, I will not say children are kind of setback, but when you have children before your career, then they will drag you back. Because if you want to go out, you will think, who will this kid stay with? They are going to eat. No food in the house. I have to cook. I have to do this. I have to do that. Andrew, I will not advise any girl 20, 21, 22 to go and get married when she does not have anything doing. Because you have to take care of the kids. At times, I will look at myself and I will tell myself that these children, this is not what I planned when I was growing up. My kids are suffering. To me, but to other people seeing me and they're saying that they enjoy now is a lie. Is a lie. So we have to plan. That is why you see poverty is all over the country. Uncle Jimmy brought some people to the studio one time and he was asking the woman, how many kids do you have? She said three. And will you do another? I said, I want to balance the equation. Ejo, who gave her equation to solve?
Okay. Thank you so much, Jesse. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've made your point. And you see, I'm trying so hard not to make it a gender divided conversation. But, you know, when it comes to the subject matter of women, I mean, marriage, so to speak, women are usually the worst heat, especially when it comes to bearing children. There's that, oh, your biological clock is ticking. Your mates are getting married early and having children. And, you know, they say when you clock the 30 upwards, it becomes harder and difficult for you to start having children. So their goal is to say, have a child, get married early and have a child early, and then you focus on your career. And there's also that part where they say, I mean, I'm also part of those people who say, make sure you have something going on for you. Make sure you have a career. As a woman, trust me. Although sometimes it doesn't work that way. It happens that you got married, probably you lost a job, and, you know, boom, bang, you're pregnant, you start having children. And it, like what I say, Seb, does not mean that children are setbacks, but it just has a way of putting more task, you know, more task for you to become, so to speak. Anyway, let's hear from Lagos. 0700-993-993-993. Hello?
Andrea, how are you? This is Val.
I am great. Hi, Val. Yeah. Talk to me.
You're having a great show so far.
Thank you. I'm trying my best.
Yeah. All right. I want to come from three angles.
Okay.
Okay. Ideally, realistically, and practically.
Okay.
Ideally, in the sense that when man proposes, God does not dispose.
Okay.
Okay, in the ideal sense, if the setting was okay, everybody's plan, if the workability of everybody's plan, if it was sure, whatever you plan for your life will surely happen.
Sure.
Everybody would desire to marry early, have children early. Have a good and healthy age when you are living old.
Yes.
Realistically,
yes,
it is not possible because of the growing circumstance within our system and the environment we find ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is not possible. Whatever works for you might not work for the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, practically, you can make it happen if you want to, if you desire to. As a growing child, if you have set your plans or you discovered yourself early in life and you make out your plans, you can put work towards it and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you realize yourself and identify yourself quite early in life, what you, your purpose in life, what you want to achieve, how your destiny, you can plan it and you can make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on you as an individual, when you are ready, when you are set. You know, our mindset, whatever we make our mind to achieve, we end up achieving it because we put the work to it, because the willpower is there to pursue it. So practically, it is possible for it to happen if you desire it, if you want it to happen. You make every outcome and everything work in your favor and you push towards achieving it. Nothing can stop you.
Okay, so you're saying be it early, you marry early, or be it you marry late, as long as you desire it and your heart is fixed
and
making it work.
If you want to make it happen, you can make it happen. But realistically, in our system now, it will be difficult. In Nigeria, where you have no challenges, cost of living and all that, is realistically, it is very difficult and impossible. But it doesn't mean it cannot happen.
Okay, thank you so much, Val. I appreciate it. Okay, we have a few more minutes to leave the studio. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Talk to me. What's your name?
Yeah, Aziz from Irawo.
Aziz, welcome.
Yeah, I think getting married quickly or all this stuff, it shouldn't be based on maybe the mindset that when you grow old, so that your children can take care of you. Because many cases, we have some people that have 2, 3 to 5 children, eventually they lose them all. You understand? Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not okay, what if you have the mindset that okay, I have this belief, this is gonna work for me, and you have with just 3 kids, you're wealthy, hoping maybe when you get to when the old day catch up with you, they will take care of you. And maybe your child is heartless, maybe somebody like Kane that will just auction all your property.
How did you go there?
Because that wasn't your plan. Your whole plan is that I want this thing to be this way. But meanwhile, your child, you know, you can control your plan. You might not be able to control your child's plan. So I think we should just.
Okay.
Do you think maybe that's all about? Yeah, I almost scream what's up, Lagos.
No scream, I just gonna beg you. Thank you. All right. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, please?
This is Ogochukwu from Ikeja.
Ogochukwu, welcome.
Thank you very much. Please, I want to ask, this early marriage of a thing, what is it for?
if you want to marry at the age of
15, 20, what's exactly?
No. We're not saying below 18, all right?
Okay. At the age of 18, what are you looking for? At the age of 20, what do you really want?
My brother.
What are you doing to raise up children at the age of 18, 20? My sister, see, the most problem we have here is our government is not doing the right thing.
How did the government come into marriage right now?
Okay, I will tell you. Yahoo of 18 has spoiled a lot of things.
Okay.
You see, a young boy of 15 years is driving car worth of 4 or 5 million. And then if we have enough security to apprehend these people and punish them, others will not emulate them. This person is at the age of 15, he's driving car of 5 million naira, and he has kids. Why you are not doing anything? You want to practice what he is doing. You see, most of the, I appreciate one woman that said our parents, our so-called parents, most of the problem the young ones are having now is their parents. When a mother will wake up and look at the daughter and say, "Yeah, mates are getting married, what are you doing?"
True.
So, yes, when the father will wake up and say to the son, "You lose your son, what are you still doing in my house? Go and get your own family." How did you raise up this child for him to go and make his own family at the age of 18, 20? My sister, in every house, there must be foundation.
That's true.
What is the foundation of the boy of 18 to 20 years for him to go back and raise his own family? So please.
All right. Thank you so much.
In everything we are doing. Thank you. God bless.
You're welcome. All right. We'll take this one call and we'll go on a break. Hello. All right. 0700-993-993-993. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Good afternoon.
What's your name?
Yeah. My name is Nanso. Yeah. I actually just called because I've had a couple of your callers.
Okay.
Okay.
Talk to
me. Yeah. Just first of all, the guy that spoke just now, talking about having issues with young...
Can you turn down the volume on your radio? Because I can hear a whole back.
Okay, you fine now?
Okay, yes.
Okay, yeah, so the guy that called talking about some young lads driving cars of 4, 5 million and all that. Truth is, anybody can drive whatever they want to drive, for like a 20 million car. You're doing something and you can afford it. It's nobody's business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it's illegal, that's a different question.
Exactly.
But you're working and you're doing something good and you can afford it, please, that is absolutely fine, regardless of your age.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the marriage, I think people should just get married when they are ready. Personally, I would say people should, first of all, fix themselves up in terms of what they want themselves in life. And then once you get yourself sorted, before bringing a third party into your life. That's me personally. Third party meaning not just the kids, but a woman in my own thing, get somebody else into your life. You should get yourself first sorted.
Okay.
So you're not like two headless chickens going and raising more headless
chickens. All right. So it's more or less you have to be mature and ready for it before going. So it has nothing to do with the age, but more to do with your mental capacity and mental readiness to head on or carry on the responsibilities that marriage comes with. We're going on a break. When we come back, we'll be wrapping up on the Sunny Side. Stay with us.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Oh boy, 2:54 on the clock, and we're gradually closing the curtains on the Sony Side today. And I don't know, should I take a few calls before we head out? Okay, we can take a few calls before we head out. Hello? 0700-993-993-993. Hello? What's going on? Wow. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, good day.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I've been trying to call and it's so difficult to get across.
Wow. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But you're glad. I'm glad you're here.
Yes, I'm here now. Mm-hmm. That's good.
What's your name, please?
My name is Kingsley. I'm calling from Yanapaja.
Welcome, Kingsley.
Okay, so I've been listening to the conversation and very interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think maturity is key when it comes to marriage.
Yes.
Well, first, I want to start by there's this notion in Nigeria that people, there's this competitive nature we have in Nigeria that, and it comes from our parents, it comes from society. Among siblings, they're like, we need to get married on so time. The other family, the next neighbors, they're already getting married.
Yeah.
It's a Nigerian thing. We are like in competition for no medal. There's no medal at the end of the day, but everybody is like in a race
competition
with one
to start first.
And it's not healthy for our society.
True that.
If you go back to marriage is something, it's a contract. There's a lot involved in it. And if you're not ready, and you go into it because of the pressure of what all the society expects from you or what your parents expect, you definitely make a mess of it.
So I agree with you totally.
To tell me somebody is ready at 20,
you're not sure.
Our Nigerian context.
Okay.
I don't think it's possible.
Okay.
I don't think it's possible because it's experiences. What experiences do you have? Even those that are, I was 36 when I got married. Now, even at 36, I told myself, because I grew up in a polygamous home.
Okay.
And my dad's biggest issue with women, so to say, was that he picked the wrong one first. That's why he went to get the right one. So I was very, very conscious when it came to women. I didn't want to, there's something about your father.
Yeah.
And your father. So I was very conscious with women. I said I was going to go really far. It's not like I didn't have the money to get married. I was going to go really far. Then when I peak, I know this is the right one. I'll be ready. And I also wanted somebody that was above 27 when I wanted to marry. I didn't want to go for a 22-year-old or 18-year-old girl. I didn't want somebody that's also not ready. But I did all of that. But I'm married now. I'm happily married. But even in my 3 years in marriage, I still see challenges that makes me know if I had done it at 22, how would I cope?
I feel you, brother, man.
There's the part of raising kids.
Yeah.
You have to be a very mature mind to raise kids. In Nigeria, people raise kids for the wrong reasons.
True that.
Absolutely wrong reasons. Everybody's having a kid, and that's why as soon as you get married, next thing they say, oh, it's 1 year now, people are looking at the clock.
The womb watchers.
When are you going to, that kind of thing. So raising kids is a 100% job. It's a full-time job. It's another human being we're talking about.
Yeah.
This human being is going to be part of this country.
Yeah.
It's going to bring a lot into this country. So you have to give your all. You have to be ready. You have to read books. You have to train yourself to be a parent.
True that.
And from at 20, you have not even started taking care of yourself. You have things you want to buy for yourself. How can you then give yourself to a child?
I mean, you
20-year-old, you're going to be looking at your kid's books when he comes from school.
True.
I know where I was at 20. I know where I was, where my head was. And I was a good kid. I was a good kid.
All
and
right.
I knew where my head was. I couldn't have carried that responsibility at 20 or 24.
Yeah.
It's not possible. So when I see some people manage it. But it helps in the kids that they have. And that's why our society is what it is.
Yeah.
You manage it. People don't know what's going on in your home. They think everything is good and fine. But when the kids come out, it's what we see in our
society.
That's what we're talking about.
I agree with you. Thank you so much. Our time is far spent. I'm so sorry I'd have to cut you off. But you made a very valid point. It's 2:58 and what a show, I would say. What a show. Thank you, Lagos, Nigeria. It was a fun one, I would say. It was a fun one. And we had this love relationship ongoing. So let's continue that way till Thursday. This particular conversation, right? Marriage is a sweet one. Especially when you have the right person. But from me to you, never, never be pressured to get married on no account. Marry when you are ready to get married. And trust me, you would own every of the responsibility that comes with it. Right now, I have to step aside.